Well, I have things that I want to share with you also. Did get a call yesterday, a couple days ago, from our son and daughter-in-law. They have a dear friend, and we've met with them too and know them very, very well. And he, 48 years old, but he is tested with COVID and is hospitalized. And the word we received from our son and daughter-in-law yesterday was a very, very weak and serious condition. So there's another, when we talk about prayer, and I hope we don't get weary of prayer. Then we received a telephone call this morning from a dear friend of ours that we've known for almost 50 years, Hal Stowe. Hal and Dottie go back many, many decades. From 4th Avenue in Chula Vista and L Street. Dottie passed away several years ago. He's remarried. And so he and his wife Barbara moved to Utah. But Hal is very weak also. He called this morning. As soon as he called, I thought, oh, something's not good. He's using a scooter to get around. He received from the VA hospital. If he doesn't use the scooter, he uses a walker. He said he fell down or just was very limp 3 times on Friday. So dear, dear friend of ours. So again, the prayers. So when he called, I thought, well, maybe he's in town, but but no. So the list goes on. This is the last lesson I'll give in this series on prayer. Not that the subject of prayer ends, but this is the last topic. I want to kind of refresh our memories a little bit. Title this one was Kinds of Prayer, but by giving it that title, I don't want to lead you in classifying a prayer under a heading every time you pray. That's not his purpose. And neither do I want you to be overcautious in the mechanics of prayer. But just call your attention to these different areas, if that's the right word I can use, or kinds or varieties of prayer. We know we're admonished to pray in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. That's an interesting phrase because sometimes we wonder, wait, how can we do that? I have to go to work, we eat, we sleep. Pray without ceasing. How can you define that? I had this article in my folder on prayer. It goes back many, many years. In fact, if you could see this, it was mimeographed. So you don't know what that is, you're young. You know? The title of it was Pray Without Ceasing. A number of ministers had gathered to discuss difficult questions. And among other things, it was asked how the commandment to pray without ceasing could be obeyed. So there's the question. How do we do that? So various suggestions were offered. And at last, one of the preachers was appointed to write an essay on the subject to be read at the next meeting. Well, a servant woman who was cleaning a room overheard the discussion. She came in and exclaimed, "What? A whole month to tell the meaning of that text? Why, it's one of the easiest and best verses in the Bible." The old minister said, always got has to be an old minister. The old minister said, "Well, well, Mary, what do you know about it? Can you pray all the time?" She said, "Oh, yes, sir." And she says, "What? When you have so many things to do?" She said, "Why, sir, the more I have to do, the more I can pray." He said, "Well, indeed. Well, Mary, how do you do it? Most people will not agree with you." "Well, sir," said the girl, "when I first open my eyes in the morning, I say, 'Lord, open the eyes of my understanding.' While I'm dressing, I pray that I may be clothed with the robe of righteousness. While I'm washing, I ask to have my sins washed away. As I begin work, I pray that I'll have strength for all the work of the day. When I kindle the fire, I pray the fires of love may be kindled in me. While preparing and eating breakfast, I ask to be fed with the bread of life and the pure milk of the word. As I sweep the house, I pray that my heart will be swept clean of all its impurities. As I'm busy with the little children, I look up to God as my Father and pray that I may always have the trusting love of a little child. And so on all day. Everything I do gives me a thought of prayer. The minister cried out, "Enough! Enough! These things are often hid from the wise and prudent, revealed unto babes, as the Lord himself said." He said, "Go on, Mary," he continued, "pray without ceasing. And as for us, let's thank the Lord for this lesson." How to pray without ceasing. That's an application of the text. You know, as we were driving here this morning, I kept thinking on some of the announcements we made, and those thoughts were on my mind. I remember the call received from Hal. Yeah. So just God thoughts. You know, God bless. God bless. A few more miles down the road, God bless. Yeah, said to myself. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, after he gives the Christian's armor, he says, praying always with all prayer. In other words, all kinds of prayer. And supplication. Watching with all perseverance. Pray for all the saints and for me. Yeah, prayer. Philippians 4, 6, very familiar. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. Yeah. In our text today, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, in other words, all kinds of prayer, be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority. Prayer. So these are not in my list, these are not probably the only kinds of prayer, but I want you to notice them. Number one is just the word prayer by itself. And that literally just means all kinds of prayer. It's not specific in nature, the word. It's a general term, pray. And it would include maybe one of these others or all of the ingredients that's mentioned. It's just conversation with God. God, I want to talk to you for a moment. It's prayer. It's unrestricted. It's just used the idea of God, I want to talk to you. Prayer. It's a term of reverence, devotion. It's a word that reveals our humbleness, our dependence upon God, our admiration for the Lord. It's just prayer. God, let's talk. In Acts 2, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. Yeah, all kinds of prayers. So prayer is just one word in general. But second, the Bible speaks of supplication. That refers to a petition for a particular benefit. Almost, God, I'm asking, and this is what I need. If we have a prayer of supplication, it's kind of confined in the idea of, God, this is what's important to me right now, and I need your help. It's a focused prayer. It's a request for a need. And it's okay to be bold in asking. I remember years ago, there's a preacher in Prescott named Mike Scott. We've had him preach for us off and on over the years. But then he had a tumor on the brain, a glioblastoma, I believe we pronounce it or call it. But his wife, Kathy, sent us a text or an email. She said, and the request was, would you pray boldly for Mike? Oh, well, that's in the text. In Hebrews 4, verse 25, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. That's a supplication. God, this is important to me. This is affecting my life. So it's different from just prayer in general. Help me. In James 4, verse 2, it says, you have not because you ask not. So we want to ask. You know, so when Jim made the announcements this morning, there were prayer requests. No, ask God to bless me or bless this situation. Help me to get through. I met you last week when I visited with Don and Bobby Hines. And Don wouldn't let me just drive by. He said, come in and pray for, have a prayer for us. I'm very focused. So the prayer dealt with that situation. God bless Bobby as she goes through these ailments or the hospital visits. And bless Don, give Don peace of mind and freedom from anxiety as he ministers to Bobby. In Jesus' name, amen. Very focused prayer. I didn't thank God for the day, for the, you know, those situations. I didn't include, probably, I don't think, anybody else in the prayer. It was just, God, I'm praying for Don and Bobby. Well, the medical staff I included. I said, give wisdom to the knowledge of those medical people. Amen. And so it was a prayer of supplication, you know, and excluded everything else. Asking is a very important part of prayer. You know, remember Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 7, ask. Ask. In John 17, verse 7, or John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. In John 16, verse 24, Jesus said, Herefore have you asked nothing in my name. Ask. Ask. So there's a kind of prayer that is specifically mentioned in the Bible as a time to just focus and ask. And that's all we do in that prayer. We just ask because there's a need. But it's not just a request line. A third kind of prayer is thanksgiving. If we're going to ask and we receive, we certainly want to say thank you. And so there's a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings, for answered supplication. God, I've made my request and I've been blessed, so now I want to stop and just say thank you. I'm going to ask for anything else. I've already asked and you've given me. So let me just say, thank you. Thank you. And that's as much as part of asking. And that should be a natural expectation. Don't we expect a thank you when we give something to someone? Parents remind children every time they receive something, or if they haven't said it already, what do you say? Because thanksgiving is so important. And we've been blessed. In 2 Timothy 3, it mentions some characters or characterizations of life. In the last days, the verse says, men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, blasphemers, unthankful. Right in the middle of the list, unthankful. It was a bad idea. Oh, I just forgot to say thanks. Oh, no, we want to say thank you. In the cleansing of the 10 lepers, the one came back, and Jesus asked the question, where are the 9? There was an expectation of just saying thanks. We sing a song in our book, Count Your Many Blessings. And then it continues, name them one by one. And then I always like the next phrase. And it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. There's a time to stop and say thanks. If you don't do that, the discouragements of life will overwhelm you. If you don't stop and count blessings, you'll be pressed down. Stop and count blessings. Say thank you. A failure to thank, someone said, is a failure to think. Fourth kind is just intercessions. Intercessions. The word means have a falling in with. It's the idea of I'm going to pray on your behalf. I'm going to plead and petition for you. Many times supplications are personal. Help me, and or we can add that, enlarge that circle, help them, help others. But in intercession, I want to pray, go to God on your behalf. And that's what people ask for. Would you pray for me? We pray an illustration of a child of God who repents. Simon, who was a sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 and verse 10, he was baptized. But then his heart was not right with God, and so some verses later in the story in Acts 8 verse 22, Peter said to him, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God." Well, pray for yourself. "If perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven you." For Peter continued, "I perceive that you're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." And Simon said, "Pray ye the Lord for me." Yeah, there's a time to intercede for someone else. We also need to pray in Matthew 5 verse 44, "Pray for them that persecute you." They probably haven't asked for me to pray for them, but there's the phrase, "Pray for them that persecute you." I'd like to do other things to them besides pray for them. In the text that was read to us, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, prayers be made for all men, for kings and all in high places. Intercession. A prayer for others. Pray for churches. In Philippians 1 verse 3, Paul says, "I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you always in every supplication of mine on behalf of you." To the church in Thessalonica, he writes, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." So we intercede for someone else. Jim did this lesson this morning, pray for preachers. Paul said, after giving a lesson on the Christian's armor in Ephesians 6, verse 19, Paul said, "Pray for me." Yeah. "That utterance may be given me." Yeah. When he writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 11, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." So when Paul says, when you pray over in Corinth, you're helping me here in Ephesus or on my missionary journey over here. He said, "Would you pray for us?" Yes. We don't want to leave out people. Pray for others. The last one I've listed in your notes is private prayer. Private prayer. In Matthew 6, verse 6, Jesus said, "But you," it's in contrast to the Pharisees praying, "but you, when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you've shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret. And thy Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly." There's a time for a closet prayer. A time when we pray when we're alone, by ourselves. The idea is when we're absent from others, when no one else is looking or no one else is hearing our prayer, the expression, you know, that's when we can, you know, let our hair down, or we can sigh, or we don't have to be correct in our speech, or others are not around us, so we don't have to be aware of them. Now in private prayer, we can get right to the heart of the matter. And we can kind of stop and groan a little bit. We're not leading others in prayer. When we're leading others in prayer, I'm aware of kind of the formality. I want to be sure I address God first. And maybe give God some praise. God, we adore you. You are mighty in our mind. When in a public prayer, address God in private prayer, I'm going to say, "God, this is what's hurting me right now." I get right to the heart of the matter. But in public prayer, "God," we address Him. "You're wonderful in all your ways." Some admiration. And they ask, give us this day our daily bread. Offer a word of thanksgiving to God in a public prayer. Forgive us of our sins as we confess to you and to others. And now we always include in Jesus' name, because we want the audience or the listeners to know that that's our approach to God, is through Jesus. And amen. So be it. But the closet prayer, we can just pause like this. It hurts, or it's on my mind. We're almost just thinking to ourselves or in our closet, just say, God, I just don't know how to express it. But you know my heart. You know what's on my mind. Private prayer. Different, a little bit different from public prayer. And in previous lessons, we close. Prayer is not a substitute for obedience. You know, we need to trust and obey. And that's the lesson. Again, not to have you think about the mechanics of prayer when you pray in public. You don't have to include all the kinds of prayer. Just think about what's of interest for the congregation. I want to lead you in prayer. So God, this is what our heart's desire is as a congregation. Bless us from above with the things we need. In Jesus' name. Again, always at the close of a lesson, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. A song of invitation. Or a song of exhortation. Time for you to reflect, perhaps even on the message we've heard or the words of the songs that we've been singing. Or think about your relationship to God. If there's a change that needs to be made, if you need to obey the gospel, we can accomplish that. If you, no doubt, have heard the good news that God so loved the world. When you hear that good news, a second step or a procedure in becoming a Christian is to believe it. No, Jesus said it himself in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. So when I come to God, I want to believe. And then number three, we'll want to repent, because Jesus said that also in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Repent or we perish. Well, I don't want to perish. And then we'll want to connect in the procedure or these steps to follow. I want to confess my faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Because that's what Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him, Jesus, in Acts chapter 8. And then we'll want to be baptized for remission of sins, because that's what the Ethiopian requested. He said, here's water, anything hindered me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. And then he made that confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip immediately commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water and Philip baptized him. So there's a process. A plan or steps or procedure or ingredients in becoming a Christian. And that's what we always extend at the close of a lesson. From that, once you are baptized, then you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's the invitation. We provide a song at this time to give you time to reflect on that relationship. So let's stand together, as has been our custom. And if you need to respond in a public way, just come and have a seat at the front, and we'll just let that request be known.